This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This all just here to share, explore, examine, have a little fun, shed a few tears. It's all good at the end of the day. I'm going to read the write-up that I got from this session to kind of explain the approach. See, the write-up was thus, which I'm sure many of you have read, expand on Islam's stance on over our limits as Muslims in regards to the LGBTQ community. Address how Muslim youth should interact with the LGBT community, including when their own friends identify as LGBTQ. So, it gets confusing. You know why? This is a very serious topic. This is a Mena session. This is not ISNO nor MSA. And so I think we should try to deal with those issues as they've been framed in a way that would be palatable to someone who is of Mena age, Muslim youth of North America. So I'd like to just start by mentioning something relevant for those of us who are Muslim, and I'm not assuming every single individual in this room is Muslim. And I am assuming that some people might identify themselves as part of the LGBTQ community are here. So what I'd like to start with is the idea of Muslims. As Muslims, we're told clearly in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I've only created the jinn and the humans that they worship me. And we could translate that they serve me. Because abd is a servant. Even in some contexts, abd might be translated as a slave. But servant is a better word in the context of worship. So we are to be servants of Allah, ibad rahman. And I think the most critical component of servitude is humility. And in fact, these two ideas are brought together by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when Allah mentions, وَعِبَادَ الرَّحْمَنُ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, that the servants of the all-merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, are those who walk humbly upon the earth. And so the spirit of worship must involve humility. It must involve humbling ourselves before our Lord, trusting in divine guidance, trusting that our Creator, who created us, we did not create ourselves, this auditorium did not create ourselves, itself rather. Recently, I saw a debate online where the person who was arguing for the existence of God, my phone isn't up here, but there is a phone, just held up his cell phone and said, can you conceive of this phone creating itself? And obviously, the person first tried to skirt around it, because in the context of the argument, an argument, not just screaming, argument, the effort to prove a certain point, premises, and extrapolating from those premises certain conclusions, understood. Once they acknowledged the phone couldn't create itself, they were trapped. In any case, and then he went on to say, okay, you have to acknowledge that. You can't say this phone just took the components, plastic, rubber, bits of metal, shards, not even metal, ore, that was the unrefined metal in the ground, in the dirt. It just refined itself, processed itself into wires, and the silicon that was brought from the Congo or wherever just made itself into a chip that had the capability of storing information on it that can then be retrieved. impossible. So is the universe more complex than the self? Is the human being more complex than the self? This cell phone has a camera, right? Our eye is a camera. The memory in this camera has a limit. The memory in this camera has no limit. The distance that this camera can record from has a limit. This is far, far, can see things and distinguish things at a far greater range. And we get frustrated with something beautiful way over there and trying to get it, and then we look at it, and I can't post that on Facebook. So what's more complex? You know, this camera, when this phone goes kaput in 2.7 years, planned obsolescence. So whatever iPhone this is, you get the new one. Because this one goes kaput, that camera's kaput. This camera can last 100 years, never changing the film, never needing a new memory chip, never exhausting its memory. So in any case, we have a creator, just as this phone has a creator. And just as the maker of this phone has given us an instruction manual as to how best and most productively operate this phone, the maker of humanity has given us an instruction manual as to how best to function as and most productively function as human beings. And so it comes down, in many instances, do we trust the manual that the maker has given us through prophets and through scripture that has been sent for our guidance, or do we trust ourselves, or do we trust people who totally, unequivocally reject not only the instruction manual, reject the existence of a creator altogether? So who do we trust? And so when we commit ourselves to worshiping our Lord, we're saying, I trust my Lord. And I humble my judgment before the judgment of my Lord. That's really the essence of worship. Now, saying that, worship challenges us. And doesn't just challenge us in ways that, say, classical understandings of Islam might challenge someone who is a member of the LGBTQ community, and they're also trying to reconcile that with being a Muslim. It challenges people heterosexually. So a person who doesn't have the wherewithal to get married heterosexually, can that person just say, you know, I know, forget it, I don't have a job, I'm homeless right now, I sleep under a bridge, but it's cool, I have some good friends under there. Actually, some of them are really sharp. We have interesting conversations. But I met this beautiful woman. This is a man speaking. And man, I have to have her, you know. I know Islam says A, B, C, and D, but, you know. So that person is challenged. That person cannot act on their desires. That person cannot fulfill their passions because they don't have the wherewithal. And so every teaching in the religion would say that person is forbidden for that person to get married. It's forbidden for that person to have relations with that woman. It's forbidden for that man to have relations with that woman. That person is challenged. Some people might be challenged. They might have a propensity, perhaps better described as a proclivity for kleptomania. When they go in a store and they see something they really want, their fingers start itching and their neck starts craning. And then it's a problem. That's why we have a word called kleptomania. Like, they love stealing things, especially things that they find very attractive or potentially beneficial. Can they take it? They can't take it. They're challenged. They're challenged in terms of their nature. And they might argue, God gave me this nature. And indeed, that's the case. That's true. And so to go back to the topic here, there might be a same-sex attraction in a person. And I know that doesn't cover the full spectrum of LGBTQ, but just to use that as the most prominent category. There might be a same-sex attraction in the person, and God created it in the person. Just as there might be an overwhelming heterosexual attraction in a person, and God created that. Or there might be a propensity towards kleptomania, and God created that. Or there might be a propensity towards a lot of things. There might be a person who says, and this theory is debatable, this is all what I've mentioned so far is debatable. I'll present evidence, inshallah. I lost my train of thought on the last sentence, but just to move on. God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, "Zuyyina lin-nasi hubbu ash-shahawat min an-nisa'i wal-banin wa qanatiri wa qamtarati min al-dhahabi wal-fiddati wal-khayri musawwamati wal-an'ami wal-harf. ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب." That it's been made alluring to people. زُوِيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. So this is the passive voice. It's been placed in people. The love of their lust, not just their lust, the love. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَات. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَات. For women, for men, or for women, for our children, for money, for heaped up treasures of gold and silver, branded steed and cattle, cultivated fields. All of this is the wherewithal of this worldly life, and Allah, and with Allah is the greatest return, the greatest source of repose. And so Allah Ta'ala is telling us, there are lusts that have been made appealing to us. And it tells in very powerful terms. Zuyina bin nasi. So it's beyond our control. It has been made, not we haven't done it ourselves. Zayyana nasi hubba shahawat. Zuyina bin nasi hubba shahawat. It's made a luring to people, the love of their lust, not just their lust, the love of their lust. So the actor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For gold, we mentioned all that. And so those things are in there. The test for a person becomes, whether it's in the realm of the topic, whether it's in the realm of other realms, where people have very powerful urges and drives, is who do we love more? Do we love ourselves? Do we love our lust? Or do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the question. Another verse Allah ta'ala says, say to them, O Muhammad, قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Say to them, O Muhammad, if it be that your parents, it mentions specifically fathers, but in generic language, that your parents, that your children, that your siblings, that your spouses, that the wealth you have earned, or your kinfolks, the wealth you have earned, the business you fear decline in, the dwellings you delight in, are more beloved to you than Allah. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, meaning you can love all that stuff. And we're supposed to love it. We're supposed to love our parents. We're supposed to love our children. We're supposed to love our siblings. We're supposed to love our spouses. Allah says that the man and the woman, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So, amongst his signs, he's made for you from yourself spouses in order that you live together with them in peace and tranquility. And he's made between you love and mercy. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So he's saying he has put love. So we're supposed to love all of that. Allah blessed you with a beautiful house. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. Say, alhamdulillah, I love my house. Thank you, Allah. You put the bihada min fadli rabbi right over the door. This is from the grace of my Lord. That's good. That's but أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger. Meaning that because of all of that, I will rebel or sin against my Lord. And so the question is not love. The question is, who do we love more? Who do we love more? And if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we give priority to what Allah ta'ala desires over what we desire. And it's not, Allah is not trying to oppress us. One of the calamities of modernity, or now post-modernity, is that the divine has been removed from most of our life transactions and calculations. We've extracted the divine. And by so doing, we limit our understanding of justice to this world, this material world. And so, in this context, a lot of people, I'll speak about it in a heterosexual context, just to kind of contextualize it. That's some kind of rhetorical device. Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah. I really loved Juliet, and her parents got in the way of my love. Her parents oppressed me because they would not allow me to fulfill my full humanity by uniting with Juliet. This is Romeo talking. And God inspired them, because it's God's universe. God isn't fair. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah doesn't want to oppress anyone in this earth. He says in Hadith Qudsi, يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ حَرَمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. O my servants, I made oppression forbidden for myself, and I've forbidden it for you, therefore do not oppress one another. So, if we limit it to the world, we could make an argument that Almighty God has oppressed Romeo by not allowing him to fulfill his love. But if we expand it beyond this world, and as humans, our affair transcends this world. The affair of this podium is limited to this world. Right? One day this is going to be splinters in a junkyard. Maybe it will be a lump of coal. It will be in a place, Allah forbid, it's not this place, that catches fire and just burns, and then there's just some charcoal left of this podium. But that's it for this podium. And when we say postmodernity, removing God from the equation, a lot of people, this is one of the atheist arguments, say we are no different than this podium. We just caught a lucky gene that allowed us to talk and think and be able to reason and to ration, but essentially, we're no different than this. Therefore, our destiny is no different than this. And this is what some of the ancient Arabs argued. Who's going to revive these crumbling bones that are dried out? I could just crush them to powder when they're dust. That's it. We decay physically. Our destiny is different, just as our existence is different. Our existence is different from all other animals. Our existence is different than the apes. I was listening to KGON. Some of you are from California, you know, KGO, one of the largest radio stations west of the Mississippi. They were discussing evolution, and a guy was, as many of us do, right, listening to talk radio. In 2 minutes, I'm just in the introduction. Let me finish the KGO story. So, They're riding down, he's going down the highway in a car that human beings made, 70 miles an hour, participating in the discussion. And so the guy in the car says, you know, I'm just a monkey, I'm just an ape. And that's all I am. And the host of the show, he said, you might believe you're just a monkey, but I never saw a monkey that could make a car that can propel you through space along a road 60 miles an hour, talking on a cell phone via an invisible beam that's bouncing off a satellite in geocentric Earth orbit, talking to someone 500 miles away. I never saw a monkey that could do that. Our existence is unique. Our destiny is unique. And so in the time left, let me go back to the point I was developing, because there's a whole lot that's going to get skipped, and I apologize that this topic isn't getting the justice it deserves. So we were talking about the oppression of one limiting the fulfillment or the stifling of the passions, love, lust, desires to this world. You can make an argument, I've been impressed. What is the argument when Allah Ta'ala says, okay, I created these things within you? The whole range that we mentioned, LGBTQ, heterosexual, kleptomania, whatever it might be. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنْ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for one who fears the time they will stand before their Lord. And some say the meaning of that, the station of their Lord, maqama rabbihi, the awesome station of their Lord. And they deny their souls the things it inclines towards. In many instances, naturally. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The paradise will be their final hope. And paradise, we're not talking 20 years in this world. We're not talking 30, 40 years. We're not talking the average 72-year lifespan. We're not talking the exceptional 100 years that a person might have in this world. We're talking eternity. That for their effort to restrain themselves, not from feelings that might be impossible to restrain, but from actions that are deemed to be forbidden. We mentioned an array of actions. That effort is rewarded with eternal bliss, eternal happiness. That will make the life of this world, in terms of its duration and in terms of its significance, imperceptible on the greater scale of things. And so I was saying that indeed there are challenges people have, but we are challenged by our Lord to try to overcome and or restrain ourselves. And that's one part of the conversation. So implicitly I'm saying, if you feel these powerful urges that might place you, in the context of this talk, and let's forget the heterosexual kleptomania, in the context of LGBTQ community, and you work against that, your reward is eternal happiness. Now, someone might say, and I'll stop here, that's easy for you to say. You're not dealing with those challenges. Everyone has challenges they're dealing with different types, and that might well be true. And so that challenge for you might be exponentially more difficult than it is for me. We have a principle in our religion, an ejul bi-qadril mashaqqa. The reward we receive from our Lord for obeying our Lord is commensurate with the difficulty and the struggle that's involved in obeying. And so the more difficult the struggle, the greater the reward. And that difficulty is recompensed in ways it's not in the world. Like I can really, 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 really love this woman, and she's not reciprocating my love, which really pains me deeply. There's no reciprocity. But our love for Allah, if it's sincere, is always reciprocated. And so as believers, one of the things we try to do, and this is intricately connected with what we've been talking about, is to make the love of Allah our highest love. And those who are able to do that, so we talk about a spiritual growth from a nafs al-bahimiyya shahwaniyya to a soul that's chained to its physical, carnal appetites and lusts, to the nafs al-lawwam, the soul that begins to question those lusts. And through that questioning process becomes content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nafs al-mutma'inna. And that contentment leads to pleasure with Allah. And that pleasure with Allah leads to Allah's pleasure. So when Allah mentions the nafs al-mutma'inna, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ ارْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. Return to your Lord pleasing, رَاضِيَةً, and pleased with, مَرْضِيَّةً. Reciprocated love. And so nafs al-mutma'inna, wa nafs before that, mulhama, mutma'inna, radiya, mardiya, and nafs al-kamila. The nafs, the perfect soul, is the soul that finds fulfillment in the love of God. And that's the goal of the mystics, to leave all the stuff we've talked about. And that is the highest state a human being can achieve. Rabi Adawiyya talked about that. Some people worship you fearing the fire. That's a motivation. Some people worship you longing for heaven. I worship you out of pure love. And so once we've transcended those physical, carnal appetites and lusts and attractions, whatever they are, then we move into the realm of pure love. And that love is so blissful because that love, that connection with Allah Ta'ala, connects us with something that transcends this world. So the level of satisfaction and the level of bliss and the level of losing ourselves within that love, some people refer to as fana, is so deep that all of these fights, they become totally irrelevant. They don't mean a thing. Allah give us tawfiq.
Ameen.
Allah bless us to understand what He's given us. May Allah give us understanding.
Ameen.
The one Allah wants good for, He gives him or her a sound understanding of this religion. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.